Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, September 28, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 31, the first paragraph, Despite All We Can Say, ending Long Enough to Drink Like Other People. We're going to be reading and commenting on the one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H., 12 Traditions, Yvonne A. Reader of the text will be Dion R., and Lorraine N. will read page 164. The reference number for Tuesday, September 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,453. That's 19453. And for this morning, Wednesday, September 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,461. That's 19461. Our newcomer greeter will be Noel E., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory of when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying on for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service this month of September, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Yvonne A. from BC, Canada, recovered compulsive overeater. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 31, the first paragraph, starting with, despite all we can say, ending with, long enough to drink like other people. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I'll now ask Dion R. to read and share with us.
Hello, good morning. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. You see me in a hopeless state of mind and body, despite all we can say. Many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they are in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone is shown inability to control his drinking and do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. This reminds me of switching. Yes, I tried it. I am Dion R. from Ohio. I've tried everything and because I wanted to prove not only to you guys, but the whole world, but to prove to myself that I'm different. I'm not in that class of people, a person that can get up to 700 or 800 pounds. Oh, no, not me. And every form of experimentation and trying, I almost got there while I was trying to control. And so it beat me into submission. To let me know, okay, world, higher power, disease, I surrendered to it all at that time, period of time, just because I knew I could not do it, and I could not do it alone, and I couldn't fight it. I tried. I just wanted to be not in that class. Today is the best class to be. It is the academic. It is the cum laude to me. It is the class, you know, to know that I'm a compulsive overeater. Given a daily reprieve, a day at a time, a frame. I always say, oh, I have a big frame. And then when the doctor did, when I had some surgery 9 years ago, and they said, your bones are so small. Your frame is so small. I'm like, oh, that fuse went out the door. But the gift is in that. I knew I couldn't lie to myself anymore, and I wasn't lying to other people. They could see it, no matter. And the more they saw it, the more vicious I became. And today, to lay down all those vicious weapons and pick up spiritual tools, it's the best thing in my life. Yes, I am one. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, not by myself, but because of my higher power gave me this program and all of you. And I give credit where credit is due. That's why I serve, and I love to do service because I don't want to forget. I did that before in my experimentation. Oh, I got this. I'm good. Heaven knows. Say heaven knows. I've tried. And today I love who I am today. I don't have to deceive myself. When I'm in pain, I could see it. And when I'm not in pain, to be 4'11 and almost way over 300 pounds, right? 4'11 in a small frame. Oh, yeah. To me, that's 700 pounds, you know. And I never thought I can get that way. It's because today I know who I am. Don't have to search no more. I'm just going to learn to bask and enjoy the journey as much as I can while I'm here. So thank you all for allowing me to be a part of this healing process. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning? Great time to jump in and share.
Good morning. This is Terry B. from Virginia.
Terry B. Very good. Who else would like to share? Was that Debbie P.?
Yes.
Very good.
Juan E. Sen.
Mm-hmm. Kara L.
Okay, let's start with Terry B., followed by Debbie P., Juanice N., and Kara L. Terry B., please get us started. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Terry D. from Virginia, recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful. It is a one-day-at-a-time program. Thank you for opening up the meeting. Thank you, Dion, for jumping in and reading that paragraph. And yes, I too am a real compulsive overeater and denied it for many, many, many years, in and out of the program, mainly out. And then 25 years that I was out and returned. It'll be 6 years in January. And it's a very different way of living for me today than it was 6 years ago or 25 years ago. I would jump through hoops to pretend that I was a normal eater, and I just couldn't be, I wanted to be a normal eater, whatever the heck that is, but I'm not. And I kept, my weight kept growing, and then I would, do these kind of starvation-like exercise, bulimia kind of deal. But it's an insane way for me to live. And I just returned from a 2-week vacation with two friends that eat very differently from me. And I was surrounded by all kinds of foods, sweets, and it was the grace of God. And we all are in that grace. We really are. I see that now. And everyone has their own spiritual path. And I'm just grateful for the path that God laid at my feet. And with this divine, beautiful big book and loving sponsor and just devoted, loving protégés, beautiful OAers. Yes, I agree. I cannot do this program alone. I cannot live this life alone, and that's the big difference. What is it that is mine to do today, dear God? One moment at a time, and I pass, and thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry B. Debbie P., please share with us, followed by Juanice N.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone on the line today. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I have a couple things highlighted in this paragraph, and it is so me, and it's so good for me to remember this is where I've come from and how good it feels today to be abstinent and a recovered member of Overeaters Anonymous. But by every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. And I really thought that I was not a compulsive overeater, and I tried every which way. My symptoms didn't come out right away after eating compulsively. Remorse, maybe, but usually about the cravings would come about 2 weeks later, and the remorse was there just a little bit, and then I just brush it off. But it became, instead of 2 weeks, it became 1 week. And then I started realizing, and of course it takes a village. I needed to hear you all say the same thing or something similar so that I would start to see that I'm not an exception to the rule. I'm not that special. I just have a disease that other normal eaters don't have. And for me, the allergy of the body is not where food's concerned, is not the same as like a bee sting or something else that I might be allergic to. And so that took me a while to admit to myself that that was an allergy as well. And heaven knows we've tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. And I watched other people eat normally, and I really wanted to do that, but I couldn't. And so I would hide, I would sneak, I would lie about what I was eating and why and when and so on. But again, something that has already been said is, everybody knew what I was doing. It was obvious. So anyway, I will pass with that, and thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. Juanice N., please share with us, followed by Kara L.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater living in Simi Valley, California. And I am too going to share that despite all we could say, all that I've read, all that I've heard everybody say, all the shares I've heard over all the years, and I still would not believe that I had to do everything that you guys had to do to recover. My self-deception came as, I've been in AA for 20 years, so I don't have to do all of that stuff you guys are doing, and I ended up relapsing about 40 some days ago. And the experimentation, the same thing. And what gets me in this is that self-deception, that's a scary word for me, because that means that I can deceive myself. I can trick myself. I can fool and lie to me. So definitely I need a higher power, because otherwise, forget it. But I tried every way to try to get out of it. I tried every way to not have to do everything. I tried it all, nobody will find out. Oh, it doesn't matter if I committed that and I'll eat this because I'm on the road and I'm busy. So it's okay if I eat this. It's still abstinent food. And I just did not know how dishonest I was being. The self-deception. Man, that is really just so scary to me to just know how much I must need. I got to have help. I've got to have help. I can't do this by myself because I will deceive myself. Man, so that's all for me, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Juanice. And Kara L., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names in case you're joining us. We're on page 31, the first paragraph, despite all we can say, ending at the bottom of that paragraph, long enough to drink like other people. And Kara, please go ahead and share. Thank you so much.
Good morning. This is Kara L. Thank you, Don. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety here in Long Beach, California this morning. Wow, this paragraph is me. It is me, you know. It's what I don't know, I don't know. And in my life, I was told if you just work hard enough, if you just do it right, everything will be okay. It took me years to come to terms with, I can't work hard enough, figure it out hard enough, do it right enough to solve this problem that I have. I am a hopeless, compulsive overeater. And until I could get to the point that said, I cannot do this, I'm admitting complete defeat, that I could make space for a power greater than myself to come into my life and do for me what I could not do for myself. And until that moment, I was willing to do what I thought was correct. When in my fixed mindset, in my limited ability to see what I needed to do, I really did try with all honest effort and heart until the day came that I just said, I can't. I've tried everything I know and I can't fix this. And that's the day I was able to open my heart and invite a power greater than myself into my life. And that's the day when it became easy. And that's the day that when I truly stepped over and I truly, truly made a decision and worked these steps, having made that decision of a beautiful, full heart, that I was able to move forward in this program and I was able to receive the gifts that I have today. And I'm ever so grateful for every year I put in getting to that point, because every year, every moment, every breath was growth towards my higher power. And for that, I'm grateful today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Janet G.
Janet G.
Marie M.
Marie M.
Marilee W.
Marilee W. Okay, let's start with Janet G, followed by Marie M. and Marilee W. Go ahead, Janet.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Janet, also known as Jazzy Janet, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph is the self-deception. I get abstinence with a vision for you in December, and I went through the steps and my sponsor said I was ready to sponsor, and I decided that I wanted to be vegan. And to me, it was just a dietary change, trying to be healthy. But it was going back in the food again. And of course, I lost my abstinence. And it took so long to get it back. And they would go, get out of the food and get a food plan. And I go, yeah, but I'm vegan. I'm vegan. And, you know, and I didn't see that that was being in the food again. And now I do. So now I treat my protein as protein, whether it's plant or animal or whatever. I try to make sure it is the right amount for my abstinence and my health. So, and I'm back. I've got maybe 3 weeks abstinence. I don't do numbers real well. So, but I wrote it down in the front of my book, and there's about eight dates in the front of my book, and this is the latest one that I've started abstinence. But thank God, I hope this is, well, all I have is today. So today I pray for abstinence. I pray for the enlightenment, and it's a cunning, baffling disease. I had no idea that of the self-deception, and it's the thinking. It's my thinking that's sick. You know, I'm mentally sick and physically sick also, but the thinking gets me in trouble. And I'm grateful for what I have today. I'm grateful for your support. I love this program. I love how it's based on the steps and the big book, that we're going back to the basics. That's where the recovery is. So at least for me. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janet G. And Marie M., please share with us, followed by Marilee W.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Great. Thank you. Hi. Good morning, fellows, and welcome to the callers. My name is Marie M. Welcome to you. I still see this paragraph. When I came back to early after seven and after, I worked with a sponsor in another meeting, and I knew right away that sugar was my problem. It always has been. But this sponsor told me not to worry about this.
Marie?
Yeah.
Marie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there something, you're kind of muffled a little bit? Is there something you could do to, we don't want to miss any word, any precious word that you're saying.
Yeah, is that better?
Yep, that's perfect. Thank you.
Great. So sorry.
No worries.
So anyway, I was, my mind was kidding myself. I knew that sugar was a problem, but this sponsor wanted me to focus on the steps, leave out the physical addiction, and my mind just, my addict mind just latched onto that. I felt like I could do the steps without giving up the food, and I failed. And then when I came to vision, I immersed myself in the 12 steps. I addressed the physical allergy. I mean, I know in my heart of hearts that sugar is an issue. And so, but once again, I worked with a sponsor who, you know, really focused on getting through the 12 steps, not worrying about the food. And my mind totally latched on to that little door opening of, maybe I can do sugar, once I've completed the steps. No, I cannot. And I know I cannot, but my mind is very deceptive. And, I have a mind that always wants to solve a problem. In other areas of my life, I've been a very high achiever. And so, my thought is, well, why not this? I should have this. And the truth is, I don't have it, And I've got to come to my higher power every morning and ask for help, put my mind where it belongs during the day, which is focusing on the will of my higher power. And I need to stop being deceptive. The truth is, this is an alcoholic food for me, and it could kill me. Maybe not today, but over time it just gets worse. And so I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I'm so happy for these 12 steps in this program, and the self-awareness that I can deceive myself. It's a powerful tool once I acknowledged it, And I'm so grateful to be able to live my life going forward with this knowledge. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marie M. Marilee W., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take the names of more people who would like to share in this paragraph. And a quick reminder, we're on page 31, the first paragraph, starting with, despite all we can say, ending at the bottom of that paragraph, long enough to drink like other people. Thank you so much. And Marilee W., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Marilee W. I'm a food addict, and I'm calling from Colorado. So I really like this chapter, and it is more about alcoholism, talks a lot about the mental states that precede the first bite or not bite. And when I was looking at this and when it's talking, despite all we can say, many who are real overeaters or restrictors are not going to believe that they are in that class. And so I am in another fellowship and feeling, I thought, really close to, which I was, God. But I kept just stuffing my face. And not only that piece, but just then I would swing into restriction of food as well. I was a bulimic when I was younger, and I didn't realize that piece was still going on. So as other people have touched on, the delusion around my food is incredible. And when it talks on the page before that about the idea that somehow, someday, Marilee will control and enjoy her eating is the great obsession of every abnormal food, you know, overeater, restrictor, and all of those pieces within that. And so I was listening to Vision for a year. I knew there was a problem going on with food, and my doctors were telling me, I had other people telling me, I would look in the mirror and be like, wow, and all the consequences that can go along with that. And then every day every night I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to do this. Tomorrow I'm just going to get up and pull my bootstraps up, do my other program, and it will be great, and I will be able to just not do this again. And then every day I would wake up and it would be different. The first thing I would be doing is be driving into that grocery store, you know, like it's a liquor store for an alcoholic. And I would go there several times a day and I would load up on food. And that was one part of my disease. And so in that delusion of my mind, I cannot think straight around my disease. Not only am I powerless once I put the food in my body, but I have a mental obsession of the mind. And I cannot manage my decision to just not do these behaviors and this eating around food that is killing me. But my mind will convince me in my own voice in a full-blown lie that it will be different this time, that it's not hurting me, that no one knows, any form of kind of self-deception that it's telling me. And for me also, some of the alcoholic foods I had given up in a form, but what was happening is I was still eating what I would call health food in a very obsessive way that was also still killing me. And so with that being said, I'm so grateful that someone started taking me through this book, that they hit on abstinence, but we really started to smash home that idea. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Marilee W. from Colorado. And now I'm going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Mary.
I think I heard a Nancy L. in there and a Jody E.
Marie F.
Mo H. And was that a Marie
Rosie.
F?
Rosie F.
Rosie F. Okay, and one more name?
Don W.
Don W. Okay, I have Nancy L., Jody E., Mo H., Rosie F., and Don W. And if I miss you, I apologize, but please come back tomorrow or in case we have time at the end. So Nancy L., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Nancy L. from Southern California. I just wanted to say that I completely identify with the self-delusion. I've known many of my behaviors were compulsive. I know I overate. But until I heard the word compulsive overeater together in a phrase, it dawned on me what my diagnosis is. And once I realized what was finally wrong with me, I was able to understand it better through the help of the steps and to work on the solution through the help of the steps. And I'm coming up next week on my one-year anniversary, and it has changed everything in my life. So I just wanted to say how grateful I am. Thank you all for your service, and have a beautiful abstinent day. Thank you. I passed.
Thank you, Nancy L. from California. Jody E., please share with us, followed by Mo H.
Thank you, Dawn. And good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. Yeah, I can relate to what everyone has been saying. And certainly when I'm in the food and before I first got abstinent, I really wanted to try every form of self-deception and experimentation because I couldn't imagine living without my alcoholic foods. I finally became willing to put those down. And once I got abstinent, physically abstinent, that was a revelation. And I felt invincible because I was no longer triggering the allergy. And I said, I got this. You know, all I have to do is abstain. Well, no, I also have this twist of the mind. And if I do not work the steps, I will pick up again and again and again. So I have to stay. That's why we all come back every day. Because we know that if we don't show up and carry this message to the best of our ability, that idea that we can eat normally like other normal people will come back. It'll come back. So I realize today that I am a real compulsive overeater. I have a physical allergy to certain substances, foods, and I also have this twist of the mind. God has chosen me to carry this message. That's how I see it today. I have a pact or a deal with my higher power. If I keep working these 12 steps, trying to apply them to the best of my ability in all areas of my life, but primarily with other compulsive overeaters, anorexic and bulimics, then God will keep me unharmed. If I stay on the firing line of life, offering myself my experience, strength, and hope on a daily basis, I will not get that idea again that I can eat normally. So this is my my way of life now, and I don't resist it anymore. I resisted it for a long time. Why should I want to put all this time and energy into something that is not especially glamorous, that I can't take any credit for in the outside world? I don't make any money at it. Because it keeps me sane, and more than anything, it keeps me feeling like I have a life of sane and happy usefulness. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Mo H., please share with us, followed by Rosie F.
Yes, thank you very much, Dawn, for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict. So the first thing that came to my mind was remembering way back to when I first started OA, and I got a sponsor, and she told me that I needed to tell her my food every day. And I said to myself, what? You want to know what I eat? Nobody knew what I ate. I kept that a secret, except my family. And when I was around them eating those meals, but they didn't see me eating behind. So I did that, but I did it begrudgingly. I wasn't very happy. And then when I slipped and I told her, I felt like, you know, the end of the world. I felt like the gates had closed, felt just so bad, so demoralized, and she asked me to write about this is not a moral issue, and I didn't learn that for many, many years. But this thing about denial, I didn't come out of denial until I came into the vision meeting, and I heard people telling, sharing about identifying in, identifying with, and it took me a while to quite understand that, but to really, you know, see that I eat like those people back then drank, and I had no control. I had my on-off switch for what is enough was broken, and I could, you know, just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and then turn around and eat some more. I don't know where I put it all. You know, sometimes I did get sick, but I was in really a lot of denial. And then I had it in the back of my head that somehow, someday, I might eat like a normal eater. And so then I, you know, worked really hard on my abstinence, and I got to a healthy body weight. And in the back of my mind, it was like, well, at the wedding, I'll be able to have that. Or at the buffet, I'll be able to have that. And I had a sponsor say to me that I had to accept that I will never be able to have those thoughts and that mindset. And I had to really work on changing my mindset. And as I heard this morning, this is a mental, mainly mental. And I always thought it was physical. It just, if I could just get the right diet and go on the right food plan and get the weight off, I'd be fine. But no, it was my mind tricking me all the time. And I hear that when I talk to my sponsees and other people on outreach calls. And it's that where I have to connect with my higher power and to work through those thoughts that come, they don't come so frequently anymore, gratefully, that, you know, I have neutrality around the food. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California. Rosie F., please share with us, followed by Don W.
Hi, thank you for your service, Dawn, and all the shares. I so relate to every single one of them. I am Rosie from California, and I am so grateful to be in this program and with among you fellows. I, too, also came into a program 10 years of face-to-face traditional OA meetings that with a really good sponsor that really had me commit my food every day and do all these things. And then, of course, my disease started to take a hold as I started to slip away and got busy with life, and I didn't put my program first. And as what happened, I found the phone meetings, reluctantly found the phone meetings, and I found a certain group that also I relate to, that other speaker that said about that the food was, that I was told that it was just, you know, to pray about it and do service, and they didn't believe in the body allergy, the physical allergy. And so I was running wild because that just gave my mental twist a carte blanche to take some things back. I had neutrality over sugar, and I kept that, but I didn't really see the ingredients in all foods that I had to really take a look at, that it wasn't just the sugar. There was more to it. There was more ingredients that I had an allergy to, and it wasn't until Vision came and I got a good sponsor and we went through it all that I really got to see that. And even so, having to be on these meetings and working the steps with you all and with my sponsor has really helped that mental twist and to keep away from that. But every day, you know, I'm just recovered upon my spiritual, you know, foundation here. And that as I'm working this program, and I need to be just immersed in this daily. I don't care how long I'm in this program. I need to be immersed every day because I try to be in this real world out here. And my mental twist can say, I can eat like a lady, like the rest of them, and bam, I'm down again. And so I have to be careful because my mental doesn't want to, myself doesn't want to be, you know, different. And so it's all work in this program and being with you folks and listening to these meetings. Wow, just a powerful, impactful meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rosie F. from California. Don W., please share with us.
Hey, this is, my name is actually Sean W., not Don W., but Don works too. Thanks for your service, Don. This is Sean, and I'm newer to OA. I've been attending Vision I've been on these calls for probably the last like 3 weeks or so. And first off, I love this paragraph. I'm coming from a different 12-step fellowship, and I could tell early on when I was working through the other fellowship for a different addiction that there was something wrong with my eating, that there was a certain obsessiveness about it. Most people wouldn't look at me and say I'm overweight, and so I've never had sort of an external pressure associated with like accepting where I'm at, but internally there's an unmanageability when it comes to food. There's an obsessiveness when it comes to dieting and exercise, and it's incredibly unmanageable. I've always been very fit and active, and as I'm getting older, my metabolism's slowing and the weight's starting to come on kind of effortlessly, and just recognizing, independent of how I look externally, I feel like hell internally. And I had a conversation with another fellow where he talked about his experiences and vision and in OA, and it just resonated and sank so deeply. And it kind of feels like this has been an issue I've been putting off. And I think it's time to address it, because I'm starting to see that my problem is I can't eat like a normal person, like a gentleman, if you will. I need a fellowship and a group and a community to really start addressing this. And so I have the past couple of weeks, it's interesting. It's like I don't feel like I'm having to force myself to come to these vision calls. Like I really just thoroughly enjoy them, and I enjoy hearing the experience, and I feel like I'm gaining so much more perspective on what's going on with me, and I hear so many things that resonate. So I guess I'm excited to continue to come, and I don't want to try out experimentation. I just kind of want to accept that I am powerless over this problem. So thanks for letting me share. I'm Sean, and I'm an overeater. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sean W. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just a wonderful experience. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, Dawn, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Excuse me. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.